Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Ches. We begin on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, about 6 lines down from the top. Yesterday we had a machlokes, based upon the Mishnah, where it said that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach, Somuch Lemincha. So we had a discussion, does that mean Somuch Lemincha Gedola, or does it mean Somuch Lemincha Ketana? Does it mean earlier in the day, Somuch, which means a half an hour before Mincha Gedola, 12:30, in our idealized day, or does it mean Samuch Lemincha Ketana, half an hour before Mincha Ketana, which is 3:30, so it means 3 o'clock. And the rationale behind it was the concern about the Zman for the Korban Pesach. We don't want you eating because you may not do your Korban Pesach because you're satiated, you're busy eating, and you'll somehow not bring the Korban Pesach. So that way it starts at the beginning of the Zman for the Korban Pesach, which is at noon. Or alternatively, the idea that we want to eat matzah l'tayavon. We want to make sure that you're hungry for the matzah. So if you eat earlier in the day, that's not such a big problem. It's only when you eat somuch l'mincha kitana, when you eat later in the afternoon, that you're not going to eat the matzah l'tayavon. It's going to be an achilas gasa, and therefore it wouldn't be good. So that was the machlokes we had yesterday. We pointed out l'halacha, that we go, then it means somuch l'mincha kitana. So we pick up 5 lines on the top, kuf ches amud aleph, with the words Roshashis. Roshashis have a Yosef betanisa kol mala yom with the pischa. Roshashis had the custom that he would fast all day long. Yosef betanisa, he sat in tainis kol mala yom with the pischa, all Erev Pesach long, not only in the afternoon, but even in the morning. So the Gemara wants to suggest, Nemo kosova Roshashis somuch lemincha gedola tanan. Mustn't it be that Rav Sheshis holds that our Mishnah is not talking about Mincha Ketana, but it says, you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach, somuch lemincha gedola. Now, the reasoning there was, as I pointed out earlier in the shiur, now we see it inside of the Gemara, Mishum Pischahu, that we're concerned that he won't bring the Korban Pesach. If he eats, he's going to get involved in his eating, and he's going to get delayed and won't bring the Korban Pesach. Duma Mimshach, because he's going to drag out his meal, V'osi Li'imnue Milumevad Pischahu, and therefore, as a result, is going to be prevented from going and bringing the Korban Pesach. Now, so what does that have to do with all day long? So we said, you can't eat from 12 o'clock, Samuch L'mincha Gedola. But the Gemara says, mustn't it be that Rav Sheshis's opinion was with Savar law, he must have held Kiha the Omar. Now the Girsa that we have is Omar Rav Oshaya, Omar Rav Elazar. On the side it says that Girsa should be the opposite. Rav Elazar was the Talmud and Rav Oshaya was the earlier Mora. So it mustn't it be that he holds, Rav Sheshis holds like the opinion of Omar Rav Elazar, Omar Rav Oshaya, which was that they held like the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Misera, Machshir Haya ben Misera. Rishbam says it's Rav Yehuda ben Misera. But Pesach sheshachat to shachris bi'arbaasar lishmo, that Rav Yehuda ben Misera's opinion is that if you were to go and shecht the Korban Pesach, not in the afternoon, but you shecht it in the morning, it would be acceptable. That Rav Yehuda ben Misera's opinion was that if you shecht the Pesach in shachris of arbaasar, and you're dalin in the morning, and you do it l'shem Korban Pesach, that would be good. Umitzafra Zman Pisklu, his opinion was that the morning is also the Zman Pesach. We'll see in Tosos, he says it's only b'di'evit, but nevertheless, it is still considered the Zman of the Korban Pesach. The Kule Yoma Chozi L'Pischa. He holds, in fact, that the entire day of Yedalit, at least b'di'evit, is good for the Korban Pesach. If you shech the Korban, L'shem Korban Pesach, even your dalit in the morning, Rav Yehuda ben Misera says that it's good. Where does he learn this from? Because he brings down the pasuk, the sofer, Bein Hor Abayim, when the pasuk tells us you have to shecht the Korban Pesach, and Bo, it tells us you have to shecht the Korban Pesach, Bein Hor Abayim, it means Bein Erev the Esmo, from the conclusion of yesterday's Erev, which means early in the morning on your dalit, when the night ends, Bein Erev the Esmo, Le Erev Doidna, until the start of the Erev today. So he says that it means that you shecht the Korban Pesach any time during the day of Yedalit, from the start of the day of Yedalit, when the night of Yedalit ends, early in the morning, until the start of Tesvav, which is the next Bein Hor Abayim. So therefore, his opinion is that the Korban Pesach is kosher in the morning, and therefore, mustn't it be that Rav Sheshis did not want to eat all day long. He was concerned, just like if it's Samuch L'mincha Gedola, that you have to be concerned that you're not going to bring the Korban Pesach. So he holds that the Korban Pesach could be brought in the morning too. And therefore, Rav Sheshis didn't eat all day long for this concern that he may get dragged out in the meal. Mimshach v'osi li'emnu'e milimevad pislahu. So that must be the reasoning of Rav Sheshis. Gemara says, that's incorrect. Amri, the Gemara says, lo. That's wrong. Shiny Rav Sheshes. The reason why Rav Sheshes didn't eat all day long was different. He was an istinus, the istinus hava. He was such a fussy person. The itayim bitsafra midi. If he even ate a breakfast, he had anything in the morning. So then, lo'urta, that night, lo habi mahani le michlo. He wouldn't be able to eat. He would only eat one time a day. And if he had a breakfast in the morning of Yadalit, he wouldn't be able to eat the Korban Pesach and the matzah l'tayavot. And therefore, that's why he didn't eat all day long. Now, Tosus points out that he didn't live in the time of the Korban Pesach. Look at Tosus Dibra Basel Neymar, says, Avogav the Hash Toleka Pesach, even though nowadays there is no Korban Pesach, Mikol Mokom, Ha'isr Shoya Bizman Habayis, the fact that there was a prohibition during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Batel. So we follow those same rules, even though there is no concern that he's not going to bring the Korban Pesach today. We Nebuch don't have a Korban Pesach today. Although I've mentioned in the past that there's an entire Sefer written by a Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, Zatzal, who says that we could bring the Korban Pesach today even without a Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Yaakov Etlinger wrote an entire Sefer, a Kuntres, against that. And Lamaisa, we don't bring the Korban Pesach today. So even though we don't bring the Korban Pesach today, and there's no concern that if you have a meal, that you're going to end up dragging out the meal, and you won't bring the Korban Pesach, nevertheless, Tosu says, we call Mokom HaIsser Sheyo Bizman HaBayis Lo Batel. That prohibition stays in place. And he says, furthermore, V'afogav, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Lo Michshar Ela B'dieved. Even as I pointed out, Rashbam says the same thing, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira only said B'dieved, if you shechted L'Shem Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach in the morning of your Dalit, it's good. Abel L'Chachil, Oser, Mishum Lo Sishchar O'Chameitz Dam Zivchi, because you're not allowed to go and shecht the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your possession, and during the morning you're still allowed to have chametz in your possession. Lo Sishchar HaPesach V'adayin Chametz Kayim, and you're allowed to have chametz Ad Vav Shos. This means, according to most, until the start of the sixth hour. V'lo Ashechon Tana D'Poli, and nobody argues with that. So therefore, this is only a bid the Eved, nevertheless we call Malkum. Kivan did the Eved kosher, since the Havamin of the Gemara is that since Rav Sheshes holds like this opinion of Omer Elazar Rav Hoshaya, holding like Rav Yehuda the Ben Beseira, that it is acceptable bid the Eved, therefore, since he feels this is a concern, he was Svirale Lahachmir Shalolechum and Aboker. So the Havamin was that that's why Rav Sheshes didn't eat in the morning. However, the Gemara then said, no, that wasn't the reason. The reason was because he was an istinus. Now, the earlier Tosus of Sheshes, Haviyosef B'Tanisa, also adds, he says, Lav Davka, El Shomer Asim Velecha. It's not that he had an absolute fast. It's just he was careful about eating. If he needed a drink of water, he would have a drink of water. If he needed to have a small little taste of something, because he has to eat something, so that would be fine. It doesn't mean that he actually sat in a full-fledged tainus. However, alternatively, Inami, Hayim a kabel alav mamish tainus. He actually accepted, according to the second pshat in Tosus, a real tainus upon himself. Why? Kadeshi had niskar v'nizor melecho. In order that he should remember that this is a very important day in terms of eating the Korban Pesach, bringing the Korban Pesach, and eating the matzah l'tayavon. So therefore, he declared upon himself a real tainus. V'nizkar v'nizor melecho. In this way, he would remember, and he certainly would be careful about not eating too much. And then Tosa says, V'habachoros no'agu l'sanos erev Pesach. A totally separate idea, Tainus Bechoros. Where does that come from? So that's not mentioned in the Bavli. That's not mentioned in the Yushami. That's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So no'agu l'sanos erev Pesach, the Bechoros. Where does the custom come for them to fast? That's brought down from Mesechus Sofrim. That's one of the minor tractates, the Mesechus Kitanos. She'ein mis'anin b'nisan. Normally we don't fast during Chodesh Nisan. Ella habachoros be erev Pesach. The exception to the rule is that the bachoros, they do fast on erev Pesach. Again, today the common custom is to make a siyum or to go to a sudas mitzvah of some sort. Therefore, lemaisa, many of them don't fast. Most people they go to the sudas mitzvah and not have the tainis. But he brings down from this Maseches Sofrim that there was a custom to go and fast the zecher to the makas bachoros, that all the bachoros in Mitzrayim were killed. And therefore, the Bechoros give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they fast, had this custom of fasting on Erev Pesach. Gemara continues and says, quoting on Mishnah, V'afil oni shebi Yisrael lo yochal at Yosef. He says, even the poorest person in Klai Yisrael is not allowed to go and eat until he sits down at night at the Seder Behesseba. And the Rashbam points out, as we're going to discuss, Heseba shel tzad shmal, leaning on the left side. Now, the Gemara starts off and tells us, Itmar matzah tzorech haseba. When you're eating the matzah, you must be in this leaning position, leaning on your left side. Derech malchus, derech cherus. And The Gemara will discuss this more in a moment. So when eating the matzah, there is this requirement to recline, to lean. Marah, however, when eating the marah, ain't tzarech haseba. Marah doesn't require haseba. Again, it makes sense that the marah represents the slavery. The marah represents the bitterness, so that shouldn't be eaten like a king, a royal person who eats behaseba. As opposed to the matzah, which represents our going from Mitzrayim into being free people, so therefore that is eaten behaseba. What about the wine? So wine, yayin. So itmar mishmei the Rav Nachman. There was one opinion brought down the Rav Nachman that tzarech haseba. That in fact, when you drink the four courses of wine, you have to be behaseba. The itmar mishmei the Rav Nachman ain't tzarech haseba. And there was another opinion that was brought down also the name of Rav Nachman that he said that you don't require haseba. So it sounds like there's conflict. Two different amarayim had different opinions what their Rebbe Rav Nachman said. But the Gemara says a low plea. In fact, the two opinions aren't arguing with each other. It depends which coast you're talking about. Ha betarate kasei kamoi. Ha betarate kasei basroi. It depends which cups you're talking about. The first two cups are different than the second two cups. Now, which are the two that had a seba, and which are the two that didn't have a seba? So that's a machlokis. So amilah lahaygisa, ramilah lahaygisa. You had two different opinions over here. One opinion says it was the first two cups that had the seba, not the last two. And the other opinion said vice versa. The first two cups didn't require a seba, and the last two required a seba. What are the two opinions? So amilah lahaygisa, the first opinion that says, you go this way, tre kase kamoi bo seba. The first two kosos, they require a seba. Why? Because dahashto hu duka mischala lo cheris. Because that's when the discussion about becoming free people is being discussed. That's the Haggadah. You're having the first two, basically the second coast is totally al Haggadah. Some have the custom that they would hold the second coast while they related the entire Haggadah. A difficult thing to do. That supposedly was the opinion of Rav Yosher ber Soloveitchik at Sal Rav. As he says, you have to say the Haggadah, ala kos. So the first two kosos, they deal with the Haggadah, which means that's how we became free people. And therefore, you have to drink those two kosos behaseba. But tre kasi basrai, but the last two kosos, lo bo haseba, they no longer require haseba, because mai dahava hava, because they're already after the fact. And therefore, we don't need to recline during those two kosos. Tosos brings down over here, in Dibra Masu Maya Dahava Hava, Shikvar Amru Geula Levnei Asuda, because you discussed the whole Geula, the Brocha Tarshem Hashem Ga'alnu, and then the second coast. So that concludes the Haggadah, and therefore, the Afogav, the Matzah Tzricha Seba, even though you can have the Matzah after the Haggadah, and that requires a Seba, below Amar Maya Dahava Hava, and we don't say over there, well, it's already after the fact, the shiny Matzah, Shehi Iker Hasuda, Yosemiyayin. The matzah is the more important part of the meal, so that has to be done beseba, as opposed to the wine, which doesn't have to be done. The third and fourth kosos, according to this opinion, beseba. Also, both biyayin, hesef kar, bishnei kosos, we showed him. And wine you already drank beseba, so it's not so essential to drink the third and the fourth kosos, beseba. Furthermore, v'yod, shiksuvu batora, zeche lecheres, shlo hispik betzekam hachmetz. The matzah represents our reminder of the cheres, that we went out to our freedom. We didn't have the chance to let the matzah rise. Ashina golu, until we went out. V'afogav dahavi lechem oni, even though it's also called the lechem oni, the bread of affliction or the bread of poverty, yesh lo'ochla derech cheres. Nevertheless, we eat the matzah in a reclining position like malachim, like free people. And he says that is the matzah that you have to eat beseba is the matzah's mitzvah, either we're not sure what is the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach night. Is it when you make the bracha at the beginning, alechilas matzah, or is it when you eat the afikoman? So we recline for both of those. But technically, if a person would have matzah at another time, he doesn't necessarily have to recline. For example, in Korech, one doesn't have to recline while eating the sandwich of Hillel, the matzah, and the maror together. So this is the first opinion that the Gemara gives us, that the first two kosos have to be in recline, beseba, and the last two kosos are not. Then we have Yarmilo Lahaigisa. Then we have the exact opposite, Adrabba, the Trey Kasei Basrai. The last two kosos, beseba, they have to be drunk while you're reclining, while you're leaning, because Haishaisa, the Ka, have your Cheres, because now you're a free person. After you go through the story of that God, we became free people. So the third and fourth kosos are when we're free people, and that's why we recline during those kosos. But Trey Kasei Kamoi, but the first two cups, Lo Boyeseba, we don't require reclining, leaning during those drinking of those two first cups, because dekasi avodim hayinu kamar, because we still are avodim at that point in time. We say avodim hayinu, so therefore we don't recline when we were discussing our being avodim when we were in slavery. So Gemara says, how do we conclude? Which opinion is correct? Do we have the first version or the second version of Rav Nachman being correct? We know two of the kosas, yes, reclining, two of the kosas not reclined, but we don't know which two. So the Gemara says, Hashta, di itmar hachi, di itmar hachi. Now that we say both of these two opinions, so Aidi, the Aidi, Boho Hesebo, some have the gears on the side, Kulu Boi Hesebo, which is the gears that the Tosos have over here, Kulu Nami Tzriche Hesebo. So we do all four kosos Beheseba. Tosus Dibra Maskul Kulu Nami Tzriche Hesebo, he says, therefore, the whole Dalit kosos Tzriche Hesebo, which is how we paskin, Bishashdia, at the time that you drink them. Tosus has an interesting question, so he says, Im Shachach Velo Hesebo, what happens if a person drank the kosos without Hesebo? Do you have to go and drink them again? Im Yachsov Yishta, were you not Yotze? So you have to go back and drink them again. Likewise, V'chein Im Bekos Shlishi Lo Hesev, if you didn't do Heseba with the third coast, which is the coast of benching. So, Im Yochol Lachzo Lishtos Beseba, are you allowed to go and re-drink it again, Beseba? I forgot the Bein Shlishi Revi Lo Yishta, because you're not allowed to go and drink between the third and the fourth cup. So, it's an interesting question. The Tosa says he doesn't give the Teretz. Tzorich Iyun. In Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Ayin Beis, this is discussed, and the Ramah concludes, and he says that in Lo Shosar Kos Shlishi or Revi Beseba, Ein Lachzor Lishtos Beseba, we don't drink those again, because there's a concern, the Yeshba Chashash, Shinira Kemosif Alakosas, it looks like you're having five kosos, so you're not allowed to go and re-drink those again. However, the Ramah says, Avol B'shnei Kosos Rishonos, Yachzor Yishteh Belo Brocha, but if you have the first two that you drank without Heseba, so you're allowed to drink technically after the first kos an additional kos, and during the after the second kos you can drink as much as you want during the meal, so therefore you should re-drink those kosos if you didn't drink them beheseba. Gemara continues and says, Proctan, if a person were to eat not in a reclining position, or to drink not in a reclining position, but in a supine position. Proctan, the simple understanding is you're lying on your back with your face up. There are other opinions over here that bring down that proctan means that you're lying on your front with your face down, or in some way the Rabbeinu Chananel has a girsa that you're rovetzli achorav, that you're somehow crouched backwards. In any event, this proctan lo shmei haseba. The Gemara says that's not considered haseba. Lying simply on your back and drinking, that's not, or eating, that's not considered haseba. Likewise, hasebas yomin lo shmei haseba, leaning on the right side, that's a simple way to understand this. Leaning on your right side is also not considered haseba, because you need to have your right hand free, most people are righties, to go and eat with. And if you're leaning on your right side, you're going to have to eat with your left hand. That's difficult, and therefore, that's not considered a royalty. That's not considered a way of a free person. It's a very difficult way to eat. Likewise, another reason, v'lo od, if you were to lean on your right, it's more likely, eloshema yaktim kone levosha, that you may have the food go down the wrong pipe. The kone is the trachea, the windpipe, and the levosha is the esophagus, the food pipe. And in that position, there's more likelihood when you're leaning towards the right that you could, rachmona l'slan, aspirate, and that the food would go down into your lungs rather than into your stomach. So therefore, that's another reason. This has tremendous, v'yovo l'de sakona. This has tremendous important halacha l'maaseh ramifications for a lefty. According to the first reason, if the lefty leans on his left, it's going to be uncomfortable for him because he's not using his stronger hand. So according to the first reason, a lefty should have to lean on his right side. But according to the second reason, whether you're a righty or a lefty, it's more easy to aspirate, rachmana litzlan, and the food go down the wrong pipe if you lean towards your right, so that even a lefty would lean towards the left, which is how we paskin. Then the Gemara continues and says, Isha etzo bala. Now that's the girsa that we have. The Rashbam just has the girsa, Isha eino tzricha seba. A woman doesn't require a seba. In any event, we have the girsa, Isha eitzo bala lo boy seba. A woman in the presence of her husband doesn't require a seba. There's nothing wrong if she does. It just doesn't require a seba. And the Rashbam's girsa is a woman never requires a seba. And the Rashbam explains, if you say it's because of the husband, mibnei emas bala ukfufala, because she is subordinate to her husband. Now, if you say that the opinion is Isha ain tzricha seba, period, that's because he brings down from the Shultz, from Rav Chai Gon, that lav darchayu dinoshi lemizgo, that women didn't eat even when they were free, even when they were royal, they didn't eat in a leaning position. The stomach wasn't considered sneeze, it wasn't considered proper, and therefore, Isha eitzo balo, or Isha in general, lo boya seba. However, the Gemara says, v'misha chashuvahi tzricha seba, if she was an important person, according to this girsa, important women did lean, so therefore she would be required to lean as well. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch also in Simon Tov Ayin Beis brings down Hagah, the Chol Hanashim Shalonu Mikre Chashuvos. He brings down for the Mordechai and for the Rein Yerucham that all of our women are considered Chashuvos. Nevertheless, Achlo Nohagu Lohosev Ki Samchu Al Divrei HaRavya. He says that the women nowadays, they rely upon the opinion of the Ravya, who writes, the Bisman Hazeh Ein Tzarech Lohosev. He says that you don't have to go and lean today. That's not the way that we demonstrate royalty. So therefore, he says, women certainly can rely upon this opinion of the Ravya, and they don't have to lean. The Ravya is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yoel HaLevi. He lived around the time of Rashi, and he's the author of the Sefer Avi HaEzri as well. The Gemara continues and says, Ben Eitzel Aviv, a son next to his father, Boy Haseba, he has to go and recline. Why is that? So the Rashbam brings down that the son is next to his father, the lo have kof of kokach, he's not so subordinate to his father, and there's also a mitzvah of chinuch, so therefore the son does recline in the presence of his father. What about, however, Iboilu, they ask in the base medrash, Talmud Eitzel Rabbo Mai, what about a Talmud next to his Rebbe? Do we say that he's kofuf to his Rebbe, or do we say no, he's not? If he's kofuf to his Rebbe, he shouldn't have to recline. Toshma, so the Gersa we have is Amar Abaye. However, on the side it says, De Amar Abaye, that Abaye said he was a Talmud of both Rabba and Rav Yosef. So Ki Havinon, when we were staying by Beimar, which the Rashbam says is Rabba, Rabba was the head of the yeshiva. There was a famous story in the Gemara that both Rabba and Rav Yosef were given the opportunity to be the head of the yeshiva, and Rav Yosef said, let Rabba go first, and since it was promised to him that he would become the Rosh Yeshiva someday, so he actually outlived Rabba. Rabba was for 20-plus years the Rosh Yeshiva. All that time, Rav Yosef was alive, and then Rav Yosef, when Rabba passed away, Rav Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva for another couple of years until he died. So he had this chus, because he was so humble, he said, let Rabba take it, so therefore he had this chus of outliving Rabba and actually living a much longer period of time. If he'd become the Rosh Yeshiva first, he would have died after only a couple of years, and he would have had 20 plus less years of life. In any event, Abaye learned both by Rabba first and by Rav Yosef. So when he was having the Seder by Rabba, Ki Havinon Beimar, Zaginon Abirke Da'adode, all the Tamidim, they would lean on each other. They would lean on the knees of each other. So that way they were Mekayim, the mitzvah of Haseba. However, Kiasino Lebe Rav Yosef, after Rabba passed away, and now they had the Seder by Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef told them, Omer Lo, and he told us, Lo Tzri Chaso, you don't need to lean when you're by your Rebbe, because Mora Rabcha Kimora Shemayim, because the fear and awe that you should have for your Rebbe is equivalent to the fear and awe that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rashbam brings down from the Pasuk in Devarim, as Hashem Elokecha Tira, Lerabos Tamidei Chachamim. Who are you supposed to have? S, Hashem Elokecha Tira. We dash to the S. Who else are you supposed to have fear of other than God? So it says to teach the Talmidei Chachamim that they should have Hishve Mora Rabo Lemora Shemayim. They should have a fear like they fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should be in fear and awe of their Rebbe. And therefore, a person in fear and awe of their Rebbe doesn't have the mitzvah of Haseba. It's almost like a chutzpah to go and recline in front of your Rebbe. Tosas, an interesting question. The bottom Tosas b'pnei Rabbo, he says, Nira da'aviv v'hu Rabbo nami ein tzorech. That if your father is also your Rebbe, then you don't recline. We said before, you're allowed to recline in the presence of your father, but if your father is also your Rebbe, then you don't recline. The lo gara mi Rabbo acher, because your father shouldn't be worse than another Rebbe. If it were another Rebbe, you wouldn't recline. So certainly in front of your father, who's your Rebbe, you don't recline as well. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara question, Meisvei, Im hakol od meisev vafilu talmid etzel rabo. This brisa seems to go against the custom of the Amoraim of Rav Yosef and his talmidim, because this brisa says when you're with anybody, im hakol od meisev, a person does have the mitzvah to recline. Vafilu talmid etzel rabo, and it says even the talmid with his rabbi. So Gemara says kitanya hi bishulio de nagre. That's not talking about a talmid with his rabbi who's the teaching him Torah. That's talking about an apprentice. That's talking about a shulyo de nagri. That's talking about, as the Rashbam says, talmido shel nagor, the apprentice of the nagor, shemalam de umnes, is teaching him a parnasa, teaching him his trade. So he's also a Talmud-Rebbe relationship, but not a Torah-Talmud-Rebbe relationship. So in that situation, even though he's kofuf to his master, and the apprentice is kofuf to the master, but not in the sense that it would be no longer obligated to do Haseba, that type of a Talmud Eitzel Rabo is what the Brice is talking about, that Im HaKol Odom Mesev Afim Talmud Eitzel Rabo, a secular Talmud with his Rebbe, but not a true Talmud in Torah with his Rebbe. They answered the Beis Medrash another question. Yibalu Shamish Mai. What about the Shamish, the one who's serving them their Korban Pesach? So when he eats, he is also obligated to eat the Korban Pesach. So he's part of their group. So is he allowed to recline? He's their servant, so to say, and therefore he should be kafuf to them and shouldn't have to recline. Or maybe no. We say no. He's a free person, and therefore he has to go and recline while eating the Korban Pesach and the rest of the Seder. So we have a brisa, Toshma, the Yom Rishu ben Levi. Rishu ben Levi said, Hashamash ochal kizayis matzah kishu meisiv yotza. Rishu ben Levi said that as long as the Shamash was serving them, ate a kizayis matzah, and he ate it beheseba, so then he was yotza, his obligation to have a kizayis matzah. Now, that statement from Rishu ben Levi, it says, meisiv in, that implies that if he was meisiv, if he was reclining, he was yotza. Implication being, lo meisiv lo. If he didn't recline, he wasn't yotze. Oh, shmami no. You see clearly from here that even the shamish is boya seba, shmami no. So the shamish is also required to recline. Another statement for Rishu ben Levi. Rav Rishu ben Levi, noshim chayavos b'arba kosos halalu. Rav Rishu ben Levi said that women are also obligated to have the dalit kosos at the Seder. We turn to the Omud Beis. Why is that? Sha'af hein hayu b'oso anes. Because they were also included in this unbelievable miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, for which we have the four cups. As Rashi brings down, the Rashbam says the same thing, Tosos says the same thing. We'll read it in Tosos because I want to read one or two other things from Tosos, but they all say the same exact thing. So we'll read the second Tosos, Hoyub Osam Anais. So he says, Pirush Rashbam, Shayodom Nigalu. It was because of the righteous women that we left Mitzrayim. And we also have the famous statement, Asidin Higal, that will also be in the future, the Mashiach will come because of the righteous women. We have to understand that it's the righteous women that do so much for Klal Yisrael and not the men. So that's what the Rashbam, Rashi, and Tosus all say over here. He says, this happened by Pesach, Shai Odom Nigalu, because of the righteous women, we got out of Mitzrayim. V'chein b'Megillah, we just had the Megillah's Esther. Ayde Esther, we got out of the troubles with Haman because of Esther. And likewise, B'chanukah, Ayde Yehudis. Vaisa with Yehudis, with Chanukah, that got us out of our troubles with the Yevonim. But Tosfos has a problem with the Loshon Af. It says, Sha'af hein hayu ba'os ha'nes. That implies, Af mashma she'enon ikr, that's not the real ikr. Furthermore, he says, V'ol de b'yushalmi goris, Sha'af hein hayu ba'os ha'sothek, which he says means, mashma ba'os ha'sakon ad l'hash v'l'ha gulabi, that the women were also included in the horrible decree from Achashverosh and Haman that the Jewish people, Noshim v'taf, also should be wiped out. So he doesn't understand this Loshon of Af. And then Tosfos says, how come by sukkah we don't make women have to sit in the sukkah? Women are potter from sitting in the sukkah. They're pturos from sitting in the sukkah. So how come? Afeinu bi also anes. They also sat in the anane hakavod, or the actual booths that we sat in Yitzias Mitzrayim. So how come they don't have to go and sit in the sukkah? So Tosfos brings an interesting diuk. He says, that's a din daraisa. Masukos oshafti hosem basei daraisa. So therefore, there we have the reasoning that Tosos brings out in the first Tosos, that if it wasn't for the fact, Sha'af heinu yuba osu anes, on a deraisa level, noshim peturos, mitzvah saseh shezman grama. It's a time-dependent mitzvah, and women are not obligated. So how come by the derabbanon mitzvahs over here, the dalikosis is a din derabbanon, the Megillah is all a din derabbanon, Chanukah is all a din derabbanon. So how come? So he says, by a din derabbanan, tiknu gam lenoshim kivin shayuba osu anes. So the rabbi said, here we're going to do it differently, because the miracle, the tremendous saving of Klal Yisrael, so it's kedai that we should be masaking also that the women, especially it was in their zechus, that they should also be included in those mitzvos derabbanan, as opposed to the din deraisa. The din deraisa is noshim peturos mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said, 'Name of Shmuel, Arba Kosos Halalu. The Dalit Kosos, Saro Shebahen Kidei Mezigas Kos Yofa.' He tells us four statements. The first one is that the Kos has to be Kidei Mezigas Kos Yofa. Now, the simplest way to read this over here is in Rashi. The Rashbam has a slightly different girsa to this Gemara, and it's going to confuse us if we read the Rashbam, which we normally have been doing in Avri Pesachim. But here we're going to use Rashi because it has the girsa that we have. So Rashi explains in the last of the wide lines in the top in the Rashi, Kidei Mezigas Kos Yofa, Shiuro is Rova Revius, that the amount of wine that you actually had, they had raw wine, they had undiluted wine. So you would put in a quarter of a quarter. A revius is a revius lug. And you take a rova of a revius of wine, so one quarter of a quarter lug, and then you add 3 parts water to it. The normal meziga, they diluted their wine. They had these raw wines, which really weren't potable easily. So you took a quarter of the revius of this raw wine, and you added 3 parts water to it. So now you have a total of a revius lug. And that is what's called kidei mezigas kos yofet. That's how much wine you must have for each of the kosos. So arba kosos elu, shark shei behen kidei mezigas kos yofet. Each of them has to have a quarter of wine, and then you add 3 parts of that water, and therefore you get a revius lug of wine for each, which will be called a revius. So that's how much wine you have to drink. Shison chai, but if you were to drink it raw, in other words, if you drink it undiluted, yotza, as long as you drank the right amount. You therefore have to have a revius lug of this wine. It's not enough to have the quarter of a quarter in this situation. It's only good that you're having a quarter of the quarter when you add the 3 parts water to it to make it the full revius. If you're drinking yishason chai, yotza, then you have to drink an entire revius lug of the raw wine. That's number 2. Number 3, shesor mevas achas yotza. If you were to drink it mevas achas. Now here, Rashi understands mevas achas, that you pour it all together. Ira arba osan lesoch kos echad. That you pour your 4 glasses and you drink them in 1 big glass. And he says, if you drink it that way, shesor mevas achas yotza, you would in fact be yotze. Rashbam and Tosos both don't like Rashi's pshat. They say that's 1 cup. What difference does it make how big the cup is? That's called 1 cup. So they say that you drink it Ritzufim. You drink one after the other. You have 4 separate cups, and you drink them one after the other. That's what's called. That's what Rashbam says. V'nir li, dochi pirusha b'vas achas, shelo al seder mishna senu, elo shesor ritzufim. You didn't drink it throughout the seder. You didn't drink it at the 4 points that we drink in the seder. But you made kiddush, you drank cup one, number one. Then you drank immediately afterwards cup number 2, and afterwards cup number 3, and then afterwards cup number 4. That's called Shison Bevas Achas, according to Rashbam and Tosfos, and that is also good according to the statement of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We're going to discuss this all a moment more in the Gemara. Lemaisa, that's not how we paskin. Hishka mehen lebonov lebeiso yotza. And likewise, if you give from your cup to your children, the people in your family, you are yotze. And again, let's discuss most of these now. So we start off discussing the Shison Chai case, where you drink the raw wine. So the Gemara says, Shison Chai Yotze. If you drink this raw wine, you're a Yotze. But what does it mean, you're Yotze? So Rava says, in regards to the mitzvah of drinking wine, Yidei Yayin Yotze, it means for Simchas Yontif, as the Rashbam says, Bishum Simchas Yontif. As the Pasuk says, V'somachto b'chagecho, b'meh misamcho, b'yayin. In what way are you going to be happy? By having wine. So you're Yotze, the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. However, you're not Yotze, Yidei Cheres lo Yotze, but you don't fulfill the obligation of the Dalet Kosos in this fashion, because you did not drink the proper way of drinking. As the Rashbam says, Klomar, Ein zo mitzvah shleima. That's not the complete mitzvah. Shein chashivus el b'yayin mozuk. Real wine, that you yotze, this idea of being a free person, that isn't by drinking this raw wine, this undiluted wine, but only by drinking diluted wine. Now, Rashbam points out that's in their days. V'hani mi l'b'yayinu shalahen. The daru al chad tlas mayat. That the custom was to dilute them, you had to add 3 parts water to each 1 part wine. That was their wines in those days. But today, you buy a bottle of wine, avoyeno shalanu, lo boy mezigo. We don't dilute our wine today. Our wine is already pre-diluted, so to say, and therefore, we drink our wine regular. So this din is not a din in absolute, it's a din in the way that the wine was made. In those days, they would have raw wine. So that's not going to really be the right way to be yotze this concept of cheres. No real free person drank that raw wine. But today, you buy a bottle of wine, so you don't dilute it. In fact, how much you dilute it, if you dilute it too much, in fact, it may take it away from the bracha bar priya gofen, or it may take it away from being yotze, the dalet kosos. In any event, the work continues and says, shesor mevas achas, like Rashi said, if you put them all into one large cup, or like the Rashbam and Tosa say, that you drink 4 kosos, one after the other. So Rav Omar Yidei Yayin Yotza. So Rav said, in this situation, you are fulfilling your obligation of drinking wine. However, Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yotza. So the Rashbam explains this, that it means that you're not Yotza Yidei Arba Kosos, Kulon Chashuvim Kos Rishon. These 4 cups of wine, like Rashi, makes very good sense. You drank 1 cup of wine, 1 large cup of wine, so you only Yotze 1 cup of wine, even like the Rashbam and Tosos, that you drank all 4 at the same time. So that's only 1 halachic cup of wine, even though you had 4 cups of wine, lamaisa. And therefore, kulon chashuvim kos rishon v'lo yoser. You can't count them for the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th cup. It's tzarech lavi od shlosha kosos halaseh. The Rashbam says, you have to bring 3 additional cups to be Yotze the dalet kosos. And finally, the Gemara says, Hishkum Ehen Labanov Lebeiso Yotza. We said that if you give some to your family, you're going to be Yotze as well. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Bahu the Ishde Ruba de Kasa. But you have to drink a Rov Kos. Which Tosus explains over here is Hainu Kimlo Lugmov, which we explained previously, is a little bit more than a half of a revius. It's Pachas Mervius, but it's more than a half of a revius. And that's the minimal amount that you have to drink in order to be Yotze. Now, ideally, you should drink at least the revius. And there's a whole big discussion over here, Ruba the Kosa, does that apply as an abstract? And therefore, if you're dealing with a very large cup, you have to drink Ruba the Kosa, even though it's well more than a revius. You're drinking from an 8-ounce cup, so you have to drink 6 ounces, which is well more than a revius. Or is that enough also if you just have a shear of Melo Lugmov, which is less than revius, and it's certainly going to be less than Ruba de Kasa. So this is a interesting discussion in Halacha, and ideally one should not use such a big cup of wine that you're not going to be able to drink Rov Kos, in order to fulfill the idea that it has to be Rov Kos, even if it's well more than a revius in the Rov Kos, if you're drinking from a very large kos. So people have a large kos for Kos Helio, for example. Don't use that kos for the Dali Kosas unless you're willing to go and drink at least the majority of that kos, even though it's much more than a revius. Lamaisa, you should try to pick a cup that has a revius in it, and then drink the entire cup, and this way you yotze all the shitos. And the Rashbam brings down a discussion over here. When you say that you have to hud the ishti ruba the kasa, what does that mean? So there are a number of different opinions. Towards the end of the Dibra Maskel, Tony Mias, so Rashbam says, does this mean the sokadayetok the shmul koma revius bein kula, that you have to have a revius amongst all the people? And that as long as they drink all together, revius, it's fine. Or do we say that each person has to have a revius? And we paskin lemaisa like this opinion that if you're going to go and give to Bnei Beso, that it must have been a very, very large cup, that you could give them each a revius from your cup and still have you had a revius, or at least Melo Lugma for each of them from this large cup. Now, obviously, if you hold that you have to drink Rov Kos, that's not going to be good, because there's no way that two people can drink Rov Kos from the same kos. Lamaisa, we suggest that everybody at the Seder have their own kos, and this way everybody should drink at least Melo Lugmov, and ideally the revius of the wine, in order to be Yotze this idea. Gemara continues and says, Meisvei, Arba Kosas Halolu Tzor Shei Bahen Kidei Revius. They must hold at least the revius in every one of the four kosos, and this is true echud chai v'echud mazuk. This is true whether it's raw or whether it's diluted. Echud chadosh v'echud yashim, whether it's new wine or whether it's old wine. Neither of them is the ideal type of wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tzorach she'ebo tam umariyayin. He adds that it has to have the tam, the taste of wine, and also the appearance of wine. We'll see, this means it must be red. And that's what the Brisa says. Now, the Gemara asks the question, Ketoni Mias, Kedei Revius. It says that you must have Kedei Revius. Ba'at Amris Kos Yofer. But we said before, when Shmuel had brought down, Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, these Arba Kosos, Halol, Shoshe Behen, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofer, that seems to imply that you don't need a Revius. You only need the quarter of a quarter that we said the rovat revius. And here it says it must have, whether it's chai or whether it's mazuk, it must have the revius. So Gemara says, the teres I really gave before, Amri, aidi va'aidi chat shiruhu. They're both really the same shir. And when it said, my kidei mezikas kos yofet, what did that mean? The kamar, that Shmuel had said that, or reviewed on Shmuel, that meant l'kol chad d'chad. That means that every single cup has to have this amount of wine in it. The havilu l'kulu revius. And when he said before that you need a revius, so that meant altogether for the night, you're going to have a revius of raw wine. And that revius is going to be broken up into a quarter of that into each of the four cups, and you're going to add three parts water to it. So that's what it meant over here. Echad chai v'echad mazuk. It's talking about the bottom line for each coast that has to have a revius, which is diluted, a rova revius of real wine, and then the three parts of water that are added to it. That's a simple way to understand this. There are other girsos over here. We'll just learn it like that. Finally, the Gemara continues and says, Rehuda Omer, Sarashe Botam Umayr. We just brought down in this price that Rehuda said it has to have both the taste and the appearance of wine. So Amar Rava, Rava says, my time of the Rehuda, where did he get this from? So it brings down the Pasuk. It says in Mishlei, Dechsev, Al Teira Yayin Kiyis Adam. Don't look for wine that is red. That's going to cause you a lot of trouble. If a person gets drunk, that's going to be a bad thing. And it tells us that the definition of wine is Adam, Yis Adam, it means that it has to be red wine. That's why Lemaisa, we try to use red wine to say it. If a person really, really prefers white wines, he's allowed to have white wine. Additionally, there used to be a custom that some people, Bedavka, would have white wine so the Goyim wouldn't accuse us, Rachmana Litzlan, of the terrible blood libels. So the Bedavka would use white wine. But today, Baruch Hashem, all things equal, if a person can use red wine, that is considered preferable than white wine at the Seder. For a number of reasons. One, because of this idea that wine should have the tam and mara of wine which is red. And number two, because in general red wines are better than white wines. That may or may not be true today, but that's another reason to use it. And the third reason to use red wine is because it has the reminder of the dam. And one of the things we want to remind ourselves is the dam in Mitzrayim, the plague of the dam, so we use red wine. Gemara continues and says, Tanur Rabbanim learn the Braisa, Hakol Chayav Bivar Kosos Alolu. Everyone is obligated to have the Dalit Kosos. This is true. Echod Adoshim, men, Echod Noshim, women, Echod Tinochos, and even younger children. Gemara asks the obvious question, Amar Yehuda, Chimat Toelis Yesh Latinochos B'Yayin. What are you talking about? Giving young children wine? That doesn't make any sense. Rashbam says, Halo Peturin Amitzu. So what's the point over here of giving them wine? They have no obligation, besides the fact that it's dangerous. So Gemara says, Ella Mechalkin Lahem. Instead, we give to them, we turn to Kuftes Amud Aleph, Kloyos Ve'egozim V'Erev Pesach. We give them stuff that they're interested in. We give them candy. Their candy was various kloyos, like popcorn, Ve'egozim, and various types of nuts. And we would give that to them on Erev Pesach in order that they should be excited. K'deshul Yishnu V'Yishalu. So they should go and not fall asleep. And this way, they will go and ask the Dalit Kashos. They will ask all the questions. And the whole essence of Pesach is transmitting the Mesorah to our children. The Rishbam points out, of course, that the kloyos that you give them, these parched kernels, they have to obviously come from the old wheat, because the new wheat is not yet mutar until the first day of Chol HaMoed, when we bring the Korban HaOmer. This custom is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's a beautiful custom to keep the kids excited and awake, to give them some stuff before the Seder starts. We normally don't do that, but you give them candy, you give them something to make them excited about the Seder, Kadesh Lo Yishnu, that they shouldn't fall asleep. They should be excited to stay up for the Seder, Vishalo, and they should ask the Dalit Kashas, as well as stay up for listening to the answers to the Dalit Kashas. They said about Rabbi Akiva, this is this minog, that he would go and give out to the children before the Seder started these various types of special treats for them, the kloyos and egozim. We would take candy today, in order that they shouldn't fall asleep, in order that they should stay up and ask the questions. Tanya, we learned another braisa, Rabbi Elezer Omer, chotvin matzos v'lele psochem. We do this chatifa, we take these matzos on the night of Pesach. Why? Again, Bishul Tinoko Shelo Yishno, that the children shouldn't fall asleep. What exactly does this mean, Chotvin Matzos? So we have a number of different interpretations in the Rashban. The Rashban says, first interpretation is Magbi in Esakora Bishul Tinoko Shishalu. We remove the plates from the table, we take the Seder plate off the table in order that the children should ask the questions. What are you doing? This, the Mefarshi, others say, Chotvin Matzah means Ochlin Maher, that we eat the matzahs very quickly. And these two lashonos over here, these two options that the Rashbam brings down, magbi in a sakara, or that it means that they eat the matzah quickly, shnei lashonos halonu, pirsh rabbeinu, these are from Rashi, his grandfather. And this is with the girsa, chotvin matzah, in the singular. Others have the gears, he says, v'yesh korsin matzos, that it's chotvin matzos in the plural, which means magbiin es ha-ka'ara, sh'yesh ba matzah u'moror u'beiz tavshilin, that you lift up the kara. This way, some people have a kara today, which has included in the bottom, so to say, a place to put the matzos. His own personal opinion, the linear of the Rashbam says, is chotvin, what does that mean? Misalkinis halechem miyada tinokos, you take away the food from the children. Lechem doesn't mean bread, of course. It means the food that they're going to be eating, shlo yushenim, because if they satiate themselves now, they're going to want to go to sleep. And therefore, mitoch maichel harbe kiderech hatino kacha achiloso. Like children, they go to sleep after they eat. They get satiated, and they get tired, and they fall asleep. So we don't do that. Vishuv lo yishalu. In that situation, they wouldn't ask the dalit kashas. They wouldn't ask all the questions of the Seder. So therefore, he says that that's what it means, that we take away their food, chotvin their food from them. Since we take away their food, lo yishanu, they're not going to sleep, yishalu. In other words, klomar, what we do over here is, lo yishanu, they will not sleep, because shelo ochlu, because they didn't eat yet, kidei sivan, enough, that they should be satiated. And therefore, yishalu. Kishiyu Ashinuim. What are they going to ask about? They're going to see all the strange things that we do. Shenu Osim, Hekeru Latinokos, that's why we do many things at the Seder, so that the children should ask questions. And he says, Chayim Muchach Loshen Atasepta. The Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer, Chotvin Matzah Latino Kideshol Yishon. The Brisa there says specifically that Rabbi Lezer holds that they take away the matzahs in order that the children shouldn't go to sleep. And Rabbi Huda Omer, Mishmo, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Afilu lo achal ela chazeres achas, lo tibel ela paperes achas. Even if they only had a very little bit to eat, Chotvin Matzah Latino. What does he mean? Kidesh lo yishon, that they shouldn't sleep, klomar gozlin. He says this is the lashon of that you steal it from them. And this is the source of the minhag that people, quote, steal the afikomen. There are many that are against this idea. We shouldn't be teaching our children to go and steal. And in fact, that's not the majority opinion here. The majority opinion says that chotvin es hamatzos means something else. However, the minhag in Kaisel is that the children take the afikomen and they return it at the end of the Seder. It does keep the children very excited and very interested in the Seder. And therefore, this is a minhag Kaisel, a minhag kosher, and those that have this minhag should certainly continue to do so. However, that is not the main meaning over here of chotvin matzah. As we said, it either means that you remove the kara, or that you eat the matzah in a more rapid fashion. And the whole idea here is that we should excite the children. They should be very excited and eager to stay up for the Seder. Finally, we conclude with the last words of the Brisa, Tanya. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva. They said about Rabbi Akiva, Miyom lo Omar, Higia Eis Lamod, Beveis HaMedrash. Rabbi Akiva never said that it's time to leave the Beis HaMedrash. All year long, he would say, stay longer, stay longer, stay longer. Two exceptions. Chutz me Arvi Pesachim, Erev Yom HaKippurim. Except on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, he would tell the people that learning is up and that you can go home. Why? Erev Pesach, Bishul Tinokus, Kadesh Lo Yishnu. He did it on Erev Pesach so that the children would have time that they could possibly sleep on Erev Pesach, and this way they'll stay up at night late for the Seder, and they won't be so tired because they've been learning all day. And second situation was Erev Yom Kippurim. Why? Kadesh Yachilu Esbenayim. So people have a chance to go home and feed their children, so it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, just like it's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. We had that drasha earlier as well, based upon the psukh, where it tells us that you have to afflict yourself on the ninth day. So what is that? So the answer is that when you eat on the ninth day, it's as if you fasted on both the ninth day and the tenth day. So therefore, he would send this Tamidim home both early on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur to fulfill these two ideas. As the Rishbam says, he would send them home early on Erev Pesach, Kidei Sheyishanu Esetinokos Bayom, so that the people take a nap during the daytime. This year, when Erev Pesach is Cholios B'Shabbos, so one should not say, I'm going to sleep on Shabbos in order to stay up late at night at the Seder. That's improper. That would be Mechin from Shabbos to Yontif, which we don't do, but certainly it's allowed. You just shouldn't state that I'm doing it for this reason. Even if your intention is to do it so, you shouldn't state that I'm going to sleep on Erev Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos in order to stay up late at the Seder. Rashbam brings out another pshat, why in Erev Pesach, he says, Inami, kishima akvin alayla, if you'd stay late in the base medrash, liacha shehechshik, if you'd stay till after it's dark, the children are going to go to sleep, because it's too late. That's why, again, we learn out from here that one should come home as fast as possible on the night of Pesach. He shouldn't delay and tarry in shul, talk with friends, etc. You should get home in time to start the Seder as soon as it's possible to do so, as soon as it's halachically tzesek kochavim, you should make kiddush, in order that the children should be wide awake and stay up for as much of the Seder as possible. I conclude with something that I remember still from my days in camp, in Camp Torah Vadas, where they used to announce when the learning groups were over, they would say, learning never ends, but learning groups are now over. And that's this idea. Rabbi Akiva was very medactic. He never wanted to give up even a second of learning, but there are times when learning has to end. So he would make sure that on those days, Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, the Tamidim, the students, would get home in time in order to fulfill mitzvos in the most optimal fashion. With that, we conclude today's share.